All right, ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings, episode 30. Can you believe that? I've made 30 of these now. Wow. But at any rate, this episode, I wanted to get into the social safety net. And to broadly define that, it's basically any sort of policy set out by the federal government, state government, any sort of government that is done to keep people who are in a vulnerable position in life out of poverty and out of danger, and giving them a chance to rebound to a more stable situation, be that financially, be that, which is the most common one, medically, et cetera, et cetera. And so typically, I'm going to use this in the position of the United States, as that's what I'm most familiar with. You have more Democrats, more left-leaning individuals, and I suppose this extends past the United States, but you have more left-leaning individuals pushing for a stronger social safety net, and then you have more right-leaning individuals who tend to pull for a less intense, less or a weaker social safety net. And an interesting quirk that I've noticed about the more right-leaning folks here in the United States is this idea from the issue of abortion, in terms of the pro-life stance on things. And just for the sake of explanation here, the position is that by allowing abortions, you are in a sense legalizing murder. And so the idea of that is that, well, you know, in the perspective of people who feel that way, you are legalizing murder, and that's not okay. And that's, you know, that's fair. That is a fair opinion. It's not one I agree with personally. And from a political point of view, it's not something that I can get on board with. But I understand the logic. However, where that logic falls apart to me is the denial of that strong, robust social safety net from the same people who want to make abortion illegal. And I'm not the first one to bring up this sort of parallel, but I think it's worth going into here. So if you have a friend or a family member who is pro-life and thinks that, you know, we should prevent abortions from being legal to save the fetuses in order for them to grow up into people, because that's saving lives, right? Or you yourself, perhaps, are somebody who's pro-life. Just take a second here, listen to my thoughts on this, and how we can use the same pro-life logic to advocate for social safety net programs. And so I wanted to begin by taking a look at a study that examined the impacts and the number of deaths that come up as a product of sort of societal issues that are sort of outside of immediate physical illnesses and deaths and things like illnesses and accidents, things like that. And so this was a study that was published in the American Journal of Public Health in 2011, I want to say. And it basically examined different causes of deaths that could be linked to these sorts of problems. And so the investigators found that in the year 2000, so this was a while ago, but it's still relevant, 245,000 deaths in the U.S. could be traced to low levels of education, meaning that that was created a higher likelihood of people dying in that sense. 176,000 deaths were attributed to racial segregation. 162,000 were to low social support. 133,000 to individual level poverty. 119,000 to income inequality. And 39,000 to area level poverty. And so that accounted for 4.5% of U.S. deaths could be attributed to poverty in some way. And that's midway between previous estimates of 6 and 2.3%. And so I will drop the link to this study in the bio if you want to learn more about that sort of thing. But I'm sure a lot of those overlapped. You know, I'm sure you can't add all of those deaths up individually. A lot of them overlapped. But the point being is that's a lot of people dying for things that are really something that can be preventable. And so if you look at it in that way, where racial segregation, low levels of education, low social support, those are all issues that can be addressed by different policies that the government can put forward. That's something that can be fixed, something that can be lowered and reduced at the very least. And so if we're going to take a pro-life stance to this issue of the social safety net, what is the pro-life stance when it comes to that? Is it our duty to elect government officials to will put policies in place that will save lives? Is that any different than the abortion issue, right? Logically, does it fall? Does it fall in line with that? You know, we'll look at the abortion issue, right? You had right-leaning leaders all over the United States being elected at all levels of government because they wanted to prevent abortions, right? To save lives. So conversely, wouldn't the same be true then? The same people who voted these right-leaning politicians in place, wouldn't they also want to prioritize the strengthening of a social safety net by programs like Social Security, food stamps, SNAP, which is supplemental nutrition, a robust school lunch program, things of that nature. These things that keep people out of poverty and by extension keep people alive. Putting more money into Social Security, putting more money into school lunch programs, is a pro-life policy decision. Life does not become settled as soon as a baby is born. There are many dangers in life, and a variable economy, you know, natural disasters and poverty are all dangers to life. And in order to be pro-life, your conceptions of what life is and your policy, your conceptions of what pro-life policy is, has to extend past birth. It cannot stop at just abortion, at just birth and abortion. It can't stop right there. It has to extend, and it has to extend all the way into retirement age. You know, aging with grace cannot happen, or it's very difficult to happen at the very least, if you're impoverished. That's why Social Security was created. The Social Security Administration was done to make sure that old people who could no longer work aged with dignity and lived in a decent financial position so that they weren't starving to death or running out of money or having to rely on their children to such a degree that it became an issue. It allowed the aging population in the United States to have some sort of independence and, like I said before, aging with grace. And so even if we look at the social safety net as it exists today, well, maybe not today, but 8 years ago, there was another study that was done, and I will also link this in the bio as well, from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, that basically posited that of over all ages, poverty was cut almost in half simply because of government social safety net programs. And so that's a lot of lives that are being saved in that scenario. So again, your pro-life politics, where with these social safety nets that consider the livelihoods and the safety of individuals of all age groups, all races, all wealth backgrounds, et cetera, it allows for people to live. It's a very fundamental set of policies here. And so I invite anyone who is pro-life or people who are in favor of a strong social safety net to push their elected officials to do more. You know, in 2013, we cut the poverty rate in half, roughly. But what if we could do it all the way? What if we could really lean into that pro-life stance where we do everything we can as a government to save lives? So, as I said, reach out. Talk to your elected officials at all levels of government and push for them to have a stronger social safety net. It lines up with a lot of existing Democrat beliefs on how government spending should be done, and it aligns with conservative pro-life principles. This is something that's a bipartisan issue, and we can all work together to keep that poverty rate low and to save American lives.